Chapter 22. Han was late. Again. This time Kira was with him, and they had one last stop to make before returning to the White Worm Den. "This better be worth it," Kira warned as she jogged beside him through the sewer tunnel. Their boots splashed through water and muck, and the faint blue light of morning filtered down from the street drains above. "We're already missing breakfast. If we're late to the meeting afterward..."
"We won't be," Han said. "We'll take the shortcut through old man Paolo's territory. It'll be fine."
"If you say so." Han slowed his pace for her, hoping Kira wouldn't notice. It's not that she wasn't right. They were definitely late, and missing the meeting would ruin all their plans. But their ride back to Corellia in the escape pod had been rough. Rough enough that Kira now sported a sling for her left shoulder, which had been wrenched out of socket when they hit Atmo. The pod had been as ancient and derelict as the ship it ejected from, without modern compensators and cooling protocols. Now the pod was a burned-out husk, resting a few clicks east of the freighter boneyard. Bruised and battered, they'd stumbled to Kira's safe house. The next day they'd made the slow journey on foot back to the White Worm Lair, where, true to her word, Lady Proxima had welcomed them home. That had been 2 days before, and they were still battered and exhausted. Now that things were back to normal, Lady Proxima announced that she'd decided who would receive the promotion of head. She would reveal the lucky worm at a meeting after breakfast. All candidates were instructed to be present and on time. For their plan of escape to have any chance of succeeding, either Han or Kira had to win the position.
"Here we are," Han said.
He cranked the wheel of the blast door. It squealed like a dying rat, making Kira wince. Together they stepped inside and ascended the stairs. Han couldn't help thinking of the first time he'd climbed these stairs, when a deal had gone bad and blaster fire had nearly taken his head off. Tool had saved him that day. The droid was inside waiting for them, standing tall against the wall, two of his attachments crossed like human arms. One of them was new, a golden alloy in bright contrast to the rest of his hulking steel frame. Most notable, though, were the hollow flames, licking and flickering all about his carapace, making the droid appear as though he burned with soft blue fire.
"Tool,"
Han said.
"You look great."
"I do, don't I?"
he intoned. "Glad to see you, Tool," Kira said.
"And you, Kira. Please sit, if it will make you comfortable."
Tool made a sweeping gesture with his lathe that Han assumed was meant to be welcoming. The room had been cleaned of blood and spilled guts. The chairs and table righted, but neither moved to sit.
"We're good," Kira said. "You said in your message you had something for us. A reward?"
Han gave her the side eye. It wasn't like her to rush a deal. She must really be worried about being late. But she'd agreed to come because they needed that reward, whatever it was. The first step to escaping Lady Proxima and the White Worms was acquiring resources.
"Yes. You see, the Kaldana Syndicate almost got away with that shield tech, which they would have used to utterly destroy our organization."
"I'm glad that didn't happen, Tool,"
Han said in all sincerity.
"Your cause is a lot safer now."
"Only because after we lost the bid, we back-channeled the engineer and cut a second, secret deal."
Kira leaned forward.
"Oh? What second deal? I didn't hear anything about..."
"Do you know the meaning of secret?"
Tool said.
"Tool, what was this secret deal?"
Han demanded.
"We offered her 300,000 credits to destroy the Kaldana ship as soon as the exchange was complete."
Han's mouth dropped open as Kira sucked in breath. Han recovered first.
"So she didn't come back to save us," he said.
"She blew that ship to bits for money," Kira said. "Everything's always about money, isn't it?"
"She declined our offer at first,"
Tool told them.
"She had no interest in who ended up with the technology, so long as she was paid and could escape free. She believed that staying behind a little while longer put her ship at risk."
Han could hardly fathom it. All those people dead, a whole syndicate, for only 300,000 credits. Better them than him and Kira, of course.
Still, it felt wrong.
What changed her mind? Kira asked.
You did. She contacted us again during the exchange and said three young scoundrels made her see things differently. So we transferred the money, and she blew up their ship and everyone in it. In the days since, we've pursued stragglers throughout the sector, taking them out one by one. In short, we have wiped them out.
All of them? Han practically squeaked.
They were a scourge on the galaxy,
Tool said.
Han and Kira exchanged startled glances. The Kaldana captain had said the exact same thing about Rodians.
That was a clever double cross, Kira said. Coldly practical.
Han gave her a confused look. It sounded like she admired them for it.
Hey, it's better to be the betrayer than the betrayed, she said.
But
so many people, Han said.
I care little for the death counts of organics, said Tool. It's nothing like what droids have experienced.
Suddenly, Han was glad no one had gotten the shield technology. Not the Kaldana, not the White Worms, and especially not the droid Gatra. Tool had almost convinced him their cause was worthy. Han had gone so far as to defend the Gatra to the engineer.
Well, that would be the last time he got swindled into believing in a cause. Cause was just a fancy word for war, and war always got people killed. Often innocent people. Like Saulo.
My organization thanks you for being such loyal allies in the fight for droid equality,
Tool continued.
We've decided to bestow a token of appreciation. It's a street speeder,
Han gasped.
Which we shall present to your Rodian friend.
Han's heart sunk.
He saved me from non-function, and his technical skills allowed the data cube to stay out of enemy hands. Where is he? I expected him to join us.
He's dead, Kira said flatly. The Kaldana killed him.
Oh, that's too bad.
Hey, we helped with all that stuff, Han said. We kept the data cube out of...
Yes, but mostly Saulo,
Tool insisted.
I'm disappointed to hear of his demise. Does he have an heir?
Kira stepped forward.
We are his...
Han put a hand on her arm. His voice was glum as he said,
His brother. He has a brother named Rizzo, who is in dire need of a speeder right now.
Han! Kira protested. We need resources!
We'll figure something out. This is the right thing to do.
She glared at him. I hate you.
No, you don't.
Kira sighed. No, I don't. Tool, we'll make sure that speeder gets to Saulo's brother. Tool inclined his head in a very human gesture.
The droid Gatra thanks you.
Kira led the way as they raced back to the White Worm lair. She hated being late, hated it. The mess hall was empty when they arrived.
Blast! Kira panted out. Just keep running!
Han sprinted through the mess and its scattered tables to the tunnel leading to the sinkhole. They burst through and skidded to a halt at the edge of Lady Proxima's scummy pond. White worms surrounded the pond, lining every bit of free wall space. Some sat in the upper adjoining tunnels, legs dangling over the edge. Morning light filtered thick and blue through the high, clear-story windows. There were even more humans in the gang now, kids Han didn't recognize. Lady Proxima must have done some recruiting while they were gone. Actually, she had probably recruited the humans to hunt them on the surface back when she still wanted all three of them dead. Lady Proxima herself huddled in the center, half-submerged. Her jewelry glistened with dripping water, and her dominant arms were twitching with anticipation. When she saw them, she emerged from the water, exposing her long, wormy body and her tiny swimmerettes, causing the water to lap at the concrete edges. As always, Kira had to resist the urge to recoil. She was just so huge, taller even than Malak.
Kira! Han!
She said, in a voice meant to convey maternal affection, though it made Kira feel like a juicy bug about to be squashed.
Just in time, my darlings.
You commanded our presence, and we obeyed, Han said with a grin. Rebold stood off to the side, glaring at them. No doubt he'd been hoping they'd be late. Kira wasn't sorry to disappoint. His hounds were with him, massive, grinning beasts with thick, slimy hides the color of spoiled cream. They sat calmly, their giant heads reaching above Rebold's waist. One licked at its paw. The other yawned, pointed tongue flicking in and out. Kira knew they could jump to action at a single command from Rebold.
Now that all my darling children are here, Proxima said, it's time to choose a new head child of the White Worms. Rebold, Kira, and Han, please step forward.
They obeyed, stepping to the very edge of the pond. Kira stared straight ahead, her chin up, lips set stubbornly. She didn't want anyone to know how much she wanted this, how disappointed she'd be if she didn't get it. She was going to play it cool, no matter what.
I've narrowed my choice down to you three. Rebold, you are loyal, dangerous with those hounds. An enforcer.
Rebold inclined his head in acknowledgement.
Kira, you are smart, observant, and strategic. A tactician.
All true, but Kira did not respond in the slightest.
And Han, you are instinctive and lucky, liked by everyone around town. An ambassador.
Han shrugged. It comes naturally. Rebold glared at him. Kira failed to hide a smile. But Lady Proxima's beakish mouth turned down into a frown.
And occasionally disrespectful, she added.
Which is why, Han said loudly, his voice carrying. You shouldn't pick me. Rebold gaped. Kira mouthed, what are you doing?
Han straightened and addressed Lady Proxima as respectfully as Kira had ever heard him speak to anyone.
Honored lady, you should choose Kira.
Kira's eyebrows practically reached her hairline. A hubbub arose as the white worms crowding the sinkhole began mumbling among themselves.
It's the lady's decision, not yours, Rebold said. Of course it is, Han said. And since the job comes down to you or Kira now, and you are supposedly the loyal one, then our beloved lady must know the truth.
What truth?
Said Proxima, looming closer.
Yeah, what truth? Rebold demanded.
One of his hounds sensed his tension and shifted on its hindquarters, growling low.
When we were on assignment, Kira received a job offer. Something that would allow her to see the whole galaxy, maybe even make her rich. But she turned it down. Out of loyalty to you, honored lady.
Everyone gasped. Kira wasn't about to tell them that the facts were right, but the motivation was wrong.
Furthermore, Han continued, she's the smartest person I've ever met. I wouldn't have survived that assignment if not for her. I would follow her lead anywhere, and so should everyone here.
As speeches went, it wasn't too bad, especially for Han. He was more cut out for leadership than he realized. Even Kira could see that. Lady Proxima loomed over Kira, then slowly, inexorably lowered herself until they were nose to nose. Her huge face dwarfed Kira's, and her nostril slits twitched, as though she was sniffing the girl. Kira didn't move, didn't even blink. She would be poised. She would not panic.
Is it true, Kira, my darling? Proxima said. Did you reject the whole galaxy for me?
One heartbeat. Two. Yes, my lady. My home is here. With you. Proxima drew herself to full height again, water sloshing everywhere. She clasped her dominant hands together, and her swimmerets waved with excitement. To everyone crowding the sinkhole, she said,
Please welcome your new head, Kira of the White Worms.
A cheer went up, and no one cheered more loudly than Han. Kira felt vaguely stunned while kids surrounded her, slapping her back, shouting congratulations. Even Malik inclined his head at her in acknowledgement. Only Rebolt stood off to the side, seething, his hounds dancing with barely contained anxiety. Lady Proxima waved her arms, and the crowd hushed. She said,
In celebration, the mess will serve a second round of breakfast.
Another cheer. But Kira couldn't quite bring herself to celebrate. She was too confused. Why had he done it?
Yum, thought Han as he headed his second breakfast. More rat sludge. But this marked the beginning of Lady Proxima's keeping her end of the bargain and feeding them two meals per day, so Han wasn't about to complain.
As they all herded themselves through the tunnel back into the mess, Kira grabbed Rebolt's sleeve.
Rebolt, she said, and he spun to face her. Everyone froze and stared, waiting to see what would happen. Han moved closer, ready to tackle Rebolt if he tried anything. Rebolt hesitated before replying,
What?
I've an errand for you. Horror filled Rebolt's face as the true import hit him. Kira was in charge now. She could order him to do anything. A muscle in his jaw twitched. Then he managed,
Yes, head. Whatever you need.
But he turned to glare coldly at Han. Han smiled. He couldn't wait to hear what she'd cooked up.
Take a few of your dog biscuits and deliver them to a friend of mine, she said. His name is Paolo. Tell him it's in gratitude for helping Han, Kira, and Saulo, for letting us visit.
Rebolt's eyes narrowed.
You mean old man Paolo, that creepy hermit?
Paolo is a great ally of the White Worms, and we shall continue to cultivate our relationship with him, Kira said. Quickly, she gave him directions. Rebolt turned to go.
And Rebolt!
Kira called after him. He paused but did not turn around.
Don't scare him! Leave your hounds behind!
He stormed off, and Han felt his grin grow wider and wider.
He really hates us now, he observed.
Oh yes, Kira said. But he already did. I realized I had to put him in his place quick, establish my authority. Be careful with him, Han. He'll blame you for all this. That was Kira, always thinking. As they stepped into the mess, Han said,
Saulo would have loved to see that happen.
Kira gifted him with a sad smile. Yes, I think he would have. They sat at one of the lily pad tables. A few others tried to join them, but Kira waved them off. When no one was in earshot, she leaned forward and said, Han, I have to know. Why did you do it? Was it just one of those impulse decisions?
Sort of. Maybe.
The truth was, Kira deserved the position, and it was more important to her than it was to him. But I thought you really wanted this.
I did.
He leaned close, so their faces were a hand's breadth apart, and he whispered,
There are some things I want even more, like escaping Corellia. With my only friend.
Her cheeks colored, and she sat back in her seat. A tiny smile curved her lips. No one's ever sacrificed something for me before.
Well, don't get used to it, he said gruffly, suddenly uncomfortable. And I wouldn't have done it if you didn't deserve it.
She was still smiling. He loved that smile. I think I finally believe you, she said. You'll never betray me, will you, Han?
Course not.
A little boy no older than 7 years old approached, wearing smudged goggles and carrying a bowl. Kira started to wave him away, but the boy said,
I'm Halro. I'm new. Moloch says you get a bowl of creamed herring now that you're head.
Thanks, Halro. Kira sniffed it, shrugged, then took a bite.
The boy in the goggles backed away.
How is it?
Han asked. Creamy, she said.
And fishy. I guess it beats rat sludge.
Barely. Here, have some. She shoved the bowl at him, and he didn't hesitate to take a huge bite.
It wasn't awful. So, he said, wiping his mouth, you're sharing your special ration with me? Just the two of us, alone, eating a meal together? Is this a date?
No, of course not.
You couldn't blame a guy for trying. If he was being honest with himself, he was a little relieved. What he needed right now was a friend. Even though Kira just might be the prettiest, most interesting girl he had ever met. Something in her face changed, and Han got the feeling she was holding back a smile. But maybe someday. She let the idea dangle in the air. Someday sounded good.
Yeah, maybe.
He gave her his most charming grin. They ate in companionable silence, in the way of trusted friends who didn't need to fill a space with conversation. Han had meant what he said to Kira in the escape pod. What keeps you flying is having one person in all the galaxy to fly with. Someone you can trust to have your back. Kira might be his one person. She would always have his back, and he would have hers. And together, someday soon, they would fly away.
This is Saskia Marleveld. We hope you've enjoyed this unabridged production of Star Wars: Most Wanted by Ray Carson. This program was directed by Kevin Thompson. Executive producer, Nick Martorelli. Star Wars Most Wanted is a production of Lucasfilm Limited and registered or trademarked where indicated. Copyright 2018. All rights reserved. Used under authorization. Music composed by John Williams. Music publishing by Warner Tamerlane Publishing Corporation and Bantha Music. Music Master Production Copyright 2007, Lucasfilm Limited. This has been a Penguin Random House audio presentation. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.